In addition, if anyone other than a board member would like to speak, please use the raise hand feature and wait to be acknowledged by the board recorder. Thank you. The board recorder will now conduct a roll call for the record.
All right, City of Beaverton, Commissioner Hartmeyer Prigg.
Present.
City of Hillsborough, Commissioner Godsey.
Here.
City of Sherwood, Commissioner Mays.
Yep.
City of Tigard, Commissioner Wolf.
Here.
City of Wilsonville, Commissioner Dunwell.
Here.
And TBWD, Commissioner Doan has not joined us. Nope. We still have a quorum, so all other attendance will be recorded during using the Microsoft participant list. I'll now turn the meeting back to Commissioner Hartmeyer Prigg.
Thank you. Our next agenda item is public comment. Public comment is set aside for persons wishing to address the board on items on the agenda and matters not on the agenda. Annette, do we have anyone who would like to comment?
No comments this evening.
Okay, thank you. As a reminder, Annette is monitoring the chat feature for any future requests. Next up is our general manager's report. Mr. Kraska, will you please present the general manager's report?
Sorry. I'd be glad to present the general manager's report as soon as I figure out my technology. So here we go. And as usual, it's an overview of everything that's going on in the WIF. Some updates here regarding our financial procedures that our team has been working on. They've been working with FCS Group since February of 2023 to develop the WIF and WWSS financial procedures. The Finance Committee has met for one final workshop on April 17th. To discuss the topics of allocation of operations maintenance expenses and allowances for working capital. FCS Group will produce a summary report of all decisions made, which will be brought to the WIF Management Committee prior to a presentation to this board at the October meeting later this year. The Willamette Water Supply System update, work continues at peak pace on 13 projects that we have still remaining. In 2023, another 9.2 miles of pipeline was installed, bringing the total installed length to 24.3 miles, or 82% of our total system. The ongoing work includes a pipeline in Wilsonville as the program begins to tie together the previous constructed projects between the raw water facilities and the under construction WWSS water treatment plant in Sherwood. The raw water facilities phase two is well underway with the upper side building shell complete and interior treatments underway. At the WIF pump station building, bases for the large WWSS vertical turbine pumps are installed and are being prepared to receive the pumps. In 2024, eight more pipeline projects will be completed along with a storage tank on Cooper Mountain. The WWSS continued to be delivered on budget, on time, and safely. A couple more updates. Thermal trading plan in April 2021. Water Watch, that's 3 years ago now, Water Watch filed with Multnomah County Circuit Court a petition for judicial review of the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality's approval of the Willamette Water Supply System's thermal trading plan. In June of 2021, the WWSS filed a motion to intervene, which was granted, and WWSS became a party. Several years have passed, and due to the court's closure during this ice storm last January, the trial was rescheduled for later on this August or September, and I'll tell you now that those dates are still a little bit in flux. Staff continue to work with legal counsel this summer to prepare for providing testimony during the trial, and in the coming weeks, WWSP staff will be meeting with staff from the WIF agencies to provide a briefing on the matter. Quarterly financial reports, our task 4.C of the annual work plan requires the managing agency to prepare quarterly financial reports and to provide them to the WIF Commission Board. Attached to this general manager's report are the quarterly financial statements for the period ending in March, and I don't have anything to call your attention to on those quarterly financial reports. And that brings me to the end of this general manager's report.
Thank you so much. Our next agenda item is the consent agenda. Consent agenda items are routine and may be enacted in one motion without separate discussion. Any board member may request that an item be removed by motion for discussion and separate action. Any items requested to be removed from the consent agenda for separate discussion will be considered immediately after the board has approved those items which do not require discussion. On the consent agenda today is the item to approve the January 22nd of 2024 meeting minutes and adopt a resolution with -01-24 adopting the FY25 WIF board meeting schedule. Do I have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda as presented? Please remember to state your name prior to making the motion and second for this action item.
Katie Dunwell, Wilsonville City Council. Commissioner Dunwell, I move to accept the consent agenda as read.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Commissioner Godsey, second.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. The board recorder will now conduct the voting roll call for the record.
All right. City of Beaverton?
Aye.
City of Hillsborough?
Aye.
City of Sherwood?
Yep.
City of Tigard?
Yes.
And City of Wilsonville?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. The motion passes. Our next agenda item is, let's see, we've got an, okay. Is there a presentation for this? Yes, staff report. Okay, Mr. Carlton, will you please present the staff report?
Yes, thank you, Chair Meyer Prigg, and good evening, commissioners. Next slide, please. So tonight I'll be presenting the information on the requested annual work plan for fiscal year 24-25, as well as the annual budget. We'll just high level go through the schedule and any proposed changes to the current or annual work plan as compared to prior years, and then we'll be requesting this body take action. Next slide, please. IGA Exhibit 8 provides us with a budget calendar for each year, and you can see the dates listed there. So starting in January, we present the Operations Committee with a preliminary capital improvement project list. And this year, there were no projects. And then at the same time, we present the Operations and Finance Committees with a preliminary budget, followed up in March with a draft budget to the Management Committee, and then the proposed budget to the board on or about March 31st. Next slide, please. You can see the schedule that we met this year. Starting January 10th, we provided the initial information to the committees, and concluding with this meeting tonight, presenting the proposed fiscal year 25 annual work plan and budget. Next slide, please. The 24-25 annual work plan consists of these general tasks lists. These are similar to as we've presented in past meetings and past years. So the activities include general administration, capital projects management, annual work plan and budget development, financial administration, operations committee administration, as well as management committee administration, and then administering WIF board meetings and commission meetings, and any operations, maintenance, and repairs work on the WIF assets. Next slide, please. Some changes from last year. So under the general administration category, historically we've had the emergency response plan as an action item coming up. We anticipate completing that work in the FY24-25 annual work plan. The source water protection plan, which Dave will actually be presenting on later this evening, that work is complete in the current fiscal year. So the implementation of that plan will begin next fiscal year. As I mentioned in capital projects, the WIF portion of the raw water facility 1.0 project, so this is the work that was occurring for the WIF assets specifically down on the raw water facilities, that work has been completed. So there was a little bit of final project work that occurred this year. It was about a little over $10,000 worth of work that was completed this year. So there's nothing planned for next year, and we don't anticipate any capital improvement projects in the near-term horizon. And then in the Finance Committee Administration, as Dave mentioned in the manager's report, the financial procedures work is underway. We anticipate that work being completed in fiscal year 24. There may be a little bit of rollover into fiscal year 25, but the way that that agreement was structured with the WIF, their financial commitment has been completed in the current fiscal year. So there won't be any budgetary requirements for the financial procedures work next year. Next slide, please. A summary of the budget is provided. So as I mentioned, compared to last year, Materials and services costs are a little bit less. So that does include, we treat staff working on the WIF agency as if they were consultants. So we budget those under the materials and services category. No appropriations for capital outlay. And then as is our practice, we always include a 10% operating contingency. And just a reminder that accessing operating contingency would require board action. So if we needed to access that, we would bring that request to the board and request action at that time. Next slide, please. This is a summary of the estimated cost shares per partner. Just a reminder that the financial procedures in the WIF exhibit break administrative costs up with 25% divided evenly and then 75% divided based on capacity, as well as the operations and maintenance costs divided up based on usage or capacity. And so that's how those are presented here. Next slide, please. And that concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions you have at this time.
Thank you for the presentation. Are there any questions for Mr. Carlton?
Thank you, commissioners.
Okay, thank you. Do I have a motion and a second to adopt a resolution WIF 02-24 adopting the Willamette Intake Facilities Commission annual work plan and budget for 2024-25 fiscal year? Please remember to state your name prior to making the motion and second for this action item.
Commissioner Godsey, I move we adopt resolution WIF 02-24.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I second. Commissioner Dunwell, I second.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. Will we please now conduct the roll call for voting?
Yes. City of Beaverton?
Yes.
City of Hillsborough?
Yes.
City of Sherwood?
Yep.
City of Tigard?
Yes.
And City of Wilsonville?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Motion passes. Our next agenda item is to adopt a resolution WIF 0324, which is the March 2024 Watershed Protection Monitoring and Outreach Plan for the Willamette River Watershed, as prepared for the Willamette Intake Facilities Commission. Mr. Kraska will present the staff report.
Thank you again, Chair Hartmeyer-Prigg, and good evening, commissioners. So this agenda item is about adopting our source water protection plan. It's been in the works for about the last 2.5 years. It's about 500 pages long if you looked at the board packet or gone through it. But most of the plan is about 80 pages, and I'll give you all the highlights of that here in this presentation. So a little bit of background where this got started. It's back in July of 2021, so about 3 years ago, the WIF Commission adopted the mission, vision, values, and goals as the strategic framework for annual planning and effective decision-making at the WIF. The first goal from the strategic plan was to develop and maintain a state and regionally supported source water protection plan, the agenda item for tonight. Next slide, please. So just as a reminder, the strategic framework, essentially the same thing as the mission, vision, values, and goals. Those two things go together. And the details of all of that can be found on the website noted here. I'm not going to go through those details tonight, but that was basically one of the key sources of information or guidance that we used in developing the plan. Next slide. In addition, another source of information that we used to guide our activities was interviews with the board members at the time before we got started. We met with each of the board members at the WIF Commission and wanted to understand from them what they wanted from this plan. And it's captured here in the slide. Building strong partnerships for collaboration, leveraging our influence to protect the watershed that we rely on for water supply, adapting to uncertainties in the future or the ability to do so, and partner alignment amongst this commission here to maximize return on investment for protection and risk reduction. Another guide that we used, next slide please, was our WIF Commission mission, and it's just restated here for our benefit, and it is to responsibly secure a safe and reliable Willamette River drinking water supply for our community. So everything that we developed in this plan is really guided by this information. So the next slide shows us the WIF Commission Watershed Protection Monitoring and Outreach Plan. Basically, the plan components listed here has a lot of information about the watershed history and characteristics, the risk analysis that I mentioned to both source and treatment of the issues in the river, funding opportunities, case studies and monitoring technology, stakeholder outreach and engagement. The final plan was developed last fall, but really finalized just last month. Next slide, please. It was done in phases, and the first phase here began back in 2021, right after the board adopted the mission, vision, values, and goals, the strategic framework. There's a lot of information about the Willamette River, so we started with discovery and going through all of that information, historical information that's been available. A lot of detailed work on identifying the water quality risks in the Willamette River and the watershed, including climate changes, a review on water quality data analysis and trends over the last 20 years, identifying any data gaps that were important to us, and also critically developing a list of stakeholders that we wanted to engage with. And going to the next slide, we talk about phase two that took place July 2022 to June 2023, which included initial outreach to the local and regional stakeholders, a comprehensive review and assessment of the current and pending funding opportunities, because wherever we can, if we can get other folks to help us in our efforts going forward, that's beneficial. We review an assessment of available monitoring technologies for water quality issues, and further refinement of the risk assessment to better understand potential greatest potential contamination sources relevant to us and their treatability. So there's a couple of parts of this work that I really want to focus on. The next slide goes to the first of them, and that's stakeholder engagement. There's an expanse, and go back one slide, please. There's an expanse, Joelle's trying to like think for me. I appreciate that. Anyways, there's great complexity and expansive information regarding the Willamette River watershed. And stakeholder engagement was one of the main primary focuses for us, because we only have our one intake on the Willamette River, and basically everyone upstream of us has the opportunity really to affect that water quality. So we want to understand that and our ability to influence that. So now, next slide. And so what did we achieve in 2023 regarding stakeholder engagement? It's listed here basically in order of the work that was done. Talk about our brand identity. I have a slide coming up that shows some information about that. As I mentioned, stakeholder identification and prioritization. Which of these stakeholders should we engage with the most that have the greatest influence on water quality and water availability in the Willamette River? Stakeholder focus groups. From this information, we were able to develop frequently asked questions, our outreach plan, and then also the lessons learned from all of this so that we're not reinventing the wheel going forward. All right, next slide, please. Regarding our brand identity, we did some work to develop a brand for the WIF. We're six entities, five cities and one water district, and to try to present that to outside parties, it can be pretty confusing and hard for people to remember who we are. And so that's what we thought it was worthwhile to discussing with outside entities that were basically a unified commission here. And so we had some graphics developed for us, a lot of work internally to develop the right basically color palette and shape and look so that we can communicate effectively. So this provides consistency, it raises awareness, it builds trust, and it's more likely to retain information that we share with folks. And as mentioned there, it includes imagery, color palette, typography, icons, and the new logo mentioned before. Next slide. So with that, we worked pretty hard on identifying all of the stakeholders out there. And through this analysis, we really ended up with six groups of stakeholders that we can work together in terms of building collaboration and also efficiency in our communications. By identifying these six groups as water providers, agricultural sector, tribal governments, environmental groups, government sector, and internal partners, we can develop communication information for each of these and work with these folks to group together to again build that collaboration and kind of lead that effort regionally. Next slide. So with the focus groups that we conducted, we held five 90-minute meetings. They were all held virtually in May and June of last year. What we were looking to understand with these groups is what are their challenges, interests, and capacities, and how might we collaborate together in the future. Next slide, please. So what did we get out of these focus groups is actually quite a bit. We built connection with these groups. As far as familiarity with who we are, what we're trying to do, and how we're trying to help them, we have better understanding of where we can be helpful or most service to them in building relationships, understanding their stakeholder needs, points of collaboration, and what resources we can use to leverage. So again, we're not reinventing the wheel. Got to pause here for a second. Commissioner Dunwell has a question.
Thank you. Very quickly, this is Commissioner Dunwell from Wilsonville. On the prior slide, I noticed that there was the tribal groups were not able to attend due to limited capacity. Can you expand on what that means?
Thank you for the question, Commissioner Dunwell. I'm actually going to ask Christina Walter to help me answer that question. Christina was our project manager on this effort, and I bet she knows exactly why. Christina?
Absolutely. We invited them to participate in these sessions, and at the time, it was the timing of the year from them. They were just spaced out doing work that they normally would do on the river, and they just couldn't accommodate. We were on a really tight time frame to complete these out the focus group sessions, and so just being out, they asked us, please keep us informed, please keep us, we would love to have more information. So we sent them a lot of the information that we had actually actively worked through with the other groups in the other five sessions, but they just, timing of the year for them, it was impossible for them to break away and be with us for even 90 minutes. So,
excellent. Thank you for expanding on that.
Mm-hmm. Great. All right. Thank you, Christina. Okay. To the next slide, please, Joelle. There we go. All right, so with all of this information that we gathered, it helped to identify future productive areas where our efforts would help us on our mission and inform future annual work plans. I won't read through all these bullets here, but there's information about communications, grant applications, collaborating with agricultural interests, doing better in terms of emergency planning, what additional monitoring we have that we can share and collaborate on, and really at the bottom line, becoming a resource to all the stakeholders. And if you read through our mission, vision, values, and goals, that's really one of the things that we want to become, is a resource to the region in terms of really the knowledge about the Willamette River and how to best protect it as our future water source. So the other major bit of work that we did, next slide please, Joelle, is our risk analysis and identification of priority areas. And this is so that the first part is about our communications and building stakeholders, and so that we're not doing this on our own, and we're working together to improve the situation on the Willamette River. Now it's also understanding about where are our largest risks and how do we best protect ourselves from them. Next slide, please. So if you go through the plan, you'll see a number of very colorful maps that look like this. And this is one of the more important ones, where we looked through the whole Willamette River watershed, and it is massive, to try to figure out what is our greatest concern to us. We broke it out into three tiers. Tier one is everything that's within 8 hours travel time in the Willamette River to our intake. And so all the land use in that area is of greatest concern to us in terms of if there's any impacts. Tier two is a secondary area for management, typically most focused on water temperature analysis. And then tier three is everything else in the Willamette River Basin. So this is more of the kind of the longer range look for us, 10, 20, 30 years out in terms of how do we influence work in those areas to, again, maintain the Willamette River as a long-term water supply source, high-quality water supply source for us. So again, prioritizing our work, tier one, 8-hour travel time, so focusing on that area. Next slide, please. So in addition to that, we're also looking at things like this, landslides, erosion, wildfire, extreme weather, climate change, things that can happen in the Willamette River watershed and what do we need to be concerned about. The map on the right, on the left on this is about fire risk. And in that analysis of the Willamette River watershed, what we're able to determine is that the greatest fire risk is essentially on the east side of the Willamette River. That's where the greatest risks are. And so it's mostly going to impact the tributaries to the Willamette River watershed in the tier one and tier three areas. And so generally of lower concern for us, but still a concern nonetheless. On the right-hand side of this graphic is an analysis of soil erosion potential. And you can see a lot of like orange and red there, which means there's a pretty high risk of soil erosion potential in the tier one area. And what this tells us is that we need to work with the agricultural interests in the area to make sure that they're using best soil management practices and protecting, again, from soil runoff from their lands and into the Willamette River, again, protecting our water supply to be as high quality as possible. Okay, next slide, please. Moving on to what does this tell us? Well, it tells us what our monitoring priorities are. I'm not going to go through all of the words on this, but just in brief, on the left-hand side is a chart that shows all the different parameters that we're recommending monitoring to, again, verify and validate the health of the Willamette River and the quality of water that's coming into our water treatment plants, where we're recommending those water quality analyses to be performed or the samples to be taken, and then the frequency. The map on the right-hand side of this graphic shows two main locations that we're recommending doing water quality monitoring. I'll go from right to left. On the right-hand side of this graphic is our intake. And so in blue there at the top box there are all the analytes, all the constituents that we're recommending basically online continuous monitoring. And the green ones below are more grab samples. And so that we're recommending implementing soon. On the left-hand side of this graphic is actually highlighting a USGS station. And so in that location, what we're recommending is working with USGS, partnering with them in the future to install water quality monitoring at that location. And by partnering with USGS on that in the future, makes it a little bit more clumsy, a little bit more cumbersome, take a little bit longer, but it'll be easier to permit that way. We'll have a partner to share costs with, and it'll just be a better project overall for the long haul. All right, a couple more slides to go. One more, next slide, please, Joelle. So again, summarizing our prioritized area for work kind of in the near term is focusing on our emergency response, planning for preparation and response to potential transportation and pipeline spills, again, in that tier one area, the near area to our intake. Performing the water quality monitoring implementation that I mentioned, and again, the continued outreach, some of the outreach that Christina mentioned to the tribes, and then focusing on building the WIF Commission's position as a regional leader and collaborator in source water protection. And finally, the summary slide is this. So again, the watershed protection monitoring and outreach plan for the Willamette River watershed was finalized last month. And we're bringing it here tonight to this commission for adoption. The near-term actions in the annual work plan that you just approved from Justin there is moving forward with monitoring at the intake facility, exploration and monitoring at that upstream location with USGS, additional outreach focusing on highest priority water quality risk and follow-up stakeholder meetings. And so with that, the next slide says questions. I'll be glad to take questions if there are any.
Thank you for the presentation. Are there any questions from the board? Commissioner Dunwell?
Yes, thank you. I do not have a question. This is Commissioner Dunwell, City of Wilsonville. But I do have a general comment. I appreciate the thoughtfulness, effort, and expertise that went behind this. As a new addition to the commission, upon review, I believe that this goes much further than I would have expected, and I do appreciate the thoroughness. So thank you.
Thank you. Are there further questions or comments? Okay. Well, seeing none, do I have a motion and a second to adopt resolution WIF 03-24, adopting the March 2024 Watershed Protection Monitoring and Outreach Plan for the Willamette River Watershed, as prepared for the Willamette Intake Facilities Commission. Please remember to state your name prior to making the motion and second for this action item.
Commissioner Dunwell, City of Wilsonville. Chair, I move to approve the adopted resolution as read.
Thank you. Is there a second?
This is
Commissioner Mays. I'll second.
We'll give the second to Commissioner Mays. Thank you. Board recorder will now conduct the voting roll call for the record.
Okay. City of Beaverton?
Yes.
City of Hillsborough?
Yes.
City of Sherwood?
Yep.
City of Tigard?
Yes.
And City of Wilsonville?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. The motion passes.
All right, I have to pop off, so sorry about that.
Is that Commissioner Mays? Okay. Just a question, a procedural question. If we don't have quorum, is it okay for us to continue since the voting items are done?
Yes, we can continue since voting is done.
Okay, thank you so much. All right. Mr. Carey will present a staff report on legislative update.
Thank you, Chair Hartmeyer-Prigg. Thank you, Commission members. I'd also be remiss without saying that the adoption of that last plan is kind of a dang big deal, so it's excellent. Looking forward to actually getting some work done. So tonight it will be brief. So as you know, we have a legislative update on our board meetings for a standing item. These are always related to the WIF Commission's mission, vision, values, and goals adopted in the strategic plan, something that Dave touched on a moment ago. So we continue to be engaged. Staff from the WIF Commission and the management agency as TBWD continue to be engaged with legislative activities, tracking bills and state initiatives through industry coalitions such as the Oregon Water Utility Council, League of Oregon Cities, and Special Districts Association of Oregon. The 2024 session began February 5th and ended March 7th. As a reminder, this is a short session year, which is based on the even and odd number sequencing. Even years are short, odd years are long. This short session still managed to generate nearly 300 bills, which were tracked and reviewed by the members of the previously mentioned coalitions. So relevant session bills, we note them as House bills or HB, and Senate bills, SB, are summarized in tonight's staff report. So just a few highlights from the session relevant for WIF Commission members. So Senate Bill 1530, which passed, this is generally referred to as the housing bill. This bill, which was based on the governor and legislature's key priorities for the 2024 session, was a combination of several bills introduced during the session. Among these was House Bill 4128, introduced in the House, which included several requests associated with water services to support the expansion of development and housing across the state. In total, nearly $120 million was allocated to cities and special districts for water infrastructure funding to support housing. Again, that bill did pass Senate Bill 1530. Senate Bill 1566 also passed, county right-of-way permitting. This bill allows a county or governing body to charge a fee for administration and issuance of a permit to, quote, construct, alter, relocate, maintain, or repair a water, gas, electric, or communications service line, fixture, or facility within the right-of-way of a public road under the jurisdiction of the county. That authorizes the county to charge a fee for the permit, except for specified activities which may be excluded from that, which is written in the language of the bill. It also directs the county to issue or deny the permit within 15 business days of application. So again, Senate Bill 1566, which did pass county right-of-way permitting. Last on our list tonight is Senate Bill 1575, which also passed. This is the duty to defend contract clauses. This bill limits a public agency's ability to require a, quote, duty to defend the public body in a contract with design professionals and firms when providing architectural, engineering, or other related services. These are most commonly associated with construction work. While there are several key details associated with this bill, it should be noted that the bill as passed excludes design build agreements, a terminology we often use in terms of construction when it's engineering and contractor focused, or combine those focuses together. Several other states have similar laws limiting these types of contractual provisions, including Washington and California. So the summary of tonight, WIF commission members are encouraged to review these bills with their legal counsels, engineering managers, contracting professionals for impacts to your respective agencies, operations, and administrative function. Again, just to focus on these, that's a snippet of what these bills represent, but they felt most relevant in terms of operations for all of us as collective agencies. These bills only represent a portion of the bill's policies and initiatives passed during the session, again, primarily focused on our operations. So if there are any questions, I'm happy to answer those. But that concludes tonight's staff report for the legislative update.
Thank you, Mr. Carey. I had a question on the duty to defend the public body, the last one you were talking about. So I didn't catch if it was saying that clause can no longer, like I wasn't following. Is that something we Oregon had allowed and is now disallowed?
So you're talking about like excluding design build agreements or just overall the bill itself? The bill itself is new. There's okay. Never been anything particularly like this on the books for Oregon from my understanding. I think the ultimate summary of it, Chair Heitmeyer-Prigg, is to make sure to flag that one with staff and make sure that they're aware of this one. And I suspect most of our agency's legal counsel and management are, but just a further review of the details of that would probably be beneficial for you and the member agencies.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. There's a lot of details in some of these bills as well. So.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you. Yep. Are there any other questions from the commission? Okay. Thank you for the report. Thanks for the acknowledgement. It was a big deal to adopt that. The plan, it's pretty phenomenal, all of the work that went into that. So congratulations to everyone. Our second information item on the agenda is just that our next board meeting is scheduled for October 28th, 2024. It will be held via Microsoft Teams. Let's see. We do not have any items under the communications and non-agenda items section of today's agenda. So the last item of business is adjournment. I just wanted to check with Mr. Kraska if there's anything else before I should adjourn us.
No, I think job done. Appreciate everyone's participation tonight, and I think we're good to call it a meeting.
Okay, well, thank you so much. There being no further business before the Board of Commissioners, the time is now 8:45. I'm sorry, I am in Central Time right now, reading you my clock, so to correct the record, we started the meeting at 6:08 p.m., it is now 6:45 p.m., and the meeting is adjourned. Thank you all so much.
Thanks, everybody. Good night.
Good night.